Hello, everyone, and welcome to a very special episode of Hotline League. This one is, I guess, very special for a couple different reasons.
Yep, it's not Monday, it's not the evening, and I'm not at home. So it's a wombo combo of differences.
Yeah, we're coming to you both live from the TGI studio.
Command center.
Yeah, the TGI command center.
You don't see it, but in front of us is just a huge control room of switches and ports.
I mean, this giant monitor, wow. We got a crazy GIF scam train going to start the show.
Of at-home command centers, this is definitely legit. You have a ultra-wide, you have a giant thing up there, you have two PCs.
Yeah, like, thank you, Alienware, for...
Yeah, this thing's pretty... You should actually start branding this. You know how they have the Alienware training facility?
Yeah.
The Alienware TGI command center.
We talked about that at the beginning of the Alienware partnership, many moons ago. And the challenge is just like communicating what this looks like while also broadcasting from it. You know what I mean? So we did some photos and stuff and we shared it in the beginning. But
now that I think about it, it's even more perfect because I think their like software on their computers is called the Command Center.
Yes.
And you want to change this.
Oh. The Alienware Command Center.
Oh, it's so perfect. Hi, Travis Gaffer reporting live from the Alienware Command Center.
True. True.
They missed out on the value.
Thank you to... Wow, all these people just randomly gifted. Ostrider for the 5, Pot of Maxwell's for the 5, Sky G for the 5, Grandpa Fitch for the 5, Seaman Demon, and Spud Tugger all dropping. What, Spud Tugger's funny to you?
Yeah, well, because Spud's a potato.
They're just pulling potatoes out of the ground. That's not,
Oh, they're pulling out of the ground. I didn't know if they were just pulling the potatoes.
They're tugging on the Spud. Anyway, shout out to Alienware for sponsoring this episode and the TGI Command Center.
Is it just TSM and EU salary caps? I think we're open to a world's take or something if we see a good one.
Yeah. So here's some context on this episode. So Mark and I announced on the last episode, which was about 10 days or so ago, that the show was going to go on hiatus for 2 weeks. The reason being Mark had family visiting in LA this week before he gets into crazy world's stuff. And then I are tomorrow morning in I guess 16 hours or so, I'm getting 3 teeth yanked out of my mouth, my wisdom teeth. And I'm very embarrassed to be getting them in my 30s or getting them removed in my 30s. You did this when in your teens?
I think I was in college. I don't think people ever get them before 20 unless they're one of those.
Oh, there's a lot of people that get them in 16, when they're 16,
really?
17,
Mine weren't that bad. So I think one had broken through the surface or whatever that's called, but it wasn't impacted or anything.
Yeah. Well, I'm doing that, and I am not looking forward to it. I've spent too much time reading and looking at YouTube videos about it. Now I'm just giving myself anxiety, so I'm not looking forward to that.
The internet is there to prey on your anxieties.
Well, the other thing is I've heard that it's worse as you're older because your body's worse at getting one. I think you have to do more, and worse at it. So I'm just expecting to be laid out for the next week or so. It's going to be miserable. But
well, fortunately, you've been doing drugs in preparation to get your,
Not accurate. But I am hoping that I get hooked up tomorrow. Anyway.
Yeah.
So.
Have you got any leftovers?
So we were not going to do the show for a couple of weeks. And then we realized TSM, right after we announced that TSM left and the Shopify Rebellion stuff came through. The LEC has instituted salary caps, which I think it's just really hard to have conversations about both those things. If we waited until the next time
world
we do an episode,
started.
Worlds would have started, and we'd be like, remember 3 weeks ago when TSM left? A lot of this just kind of deserved its own episode. And you couldn't do the show from your apartment today.
I mean, technically I could.
Basically, Mark and I found an hour and a half long period of time where we could do the show. So it's... We're doing it randomly at 3 o'clock on a Wednesday this week because we felt like you all deserved
Thursday,
a show.
By the way.
That's Thursday. Oh no. It's
one of those weeks, everyone.
It's definitely one of those weeks.
I've totally lost track of time too.
Yeah. So we're gonna talk about this stuff. If there are other things that we're forgetting about,
about a Game Changers follow up.
Yeah.
I'll be honest. Did not watch it. I was at the villa. I was at Getty Villa that day. My mom is one of those people who needs to be doing multiple things every single day. So,
yeah. if we get a call in about it, I think it's fine. If we have the time, Mark has a tighter schedule today, but I think if we have the space, we can do it. I'm not trying to pass on.
Ooh, new jeans for Worlds. Very hype.
You're buying some new ones. I don't even think people see the jeans when you're wearing them because it's only from the waist up.
I can't tell if you're just not funny. or you don't know what's going on. It could be either one with you.
I got it.
Is he oblivious grandpa?
I had that news.
Not funny grandpa.
So Numi can attest to this. I had that news under embargo since late last week and was going to do a content piece on it for when the stuff released. And then everyone just started leaking that shit early.
Oh,
and I was going to do it with Numi because I was going to ask her, like, I'm not a K-pop expert, but I was going to try to get her to, like, live react to it on screen, you
yeah,
know?
Yeah.
And then everybody just leaked that shit. And I was like, okay, well, I just got back from Vegas, so.
Sorry, I put this in front of my face.
You're good.
I think someone at Riot told us that it was NewJeans, but I forgot, I guess, because I was surprised when I saw it. And I was like, oh, sick. I knew the song name was Gods. But I listened to, like, the little sample or, like, the orchestral stuff so far. And it doesn't sound like NewJeans. So I'm curious, like, what it's going to end up being like. There was, like, a little bit in the middle that was more, like, their kind of, like, poppy sound. I don't know. Anyways, I'm excited.
I think it's just cool whenever... Because, one, I know NewJeans is really big right now. I've heard their song on the TikTok where they go, really hoping that he would come through.
Yeah.
We should probably not do that again. Anyway.
That's the dance.
So I'm familiar with them, and I think it's just really cool whenever you get, like, a big name, and especially because it's going to be in Korea and stuff, it just kind of feels like
the perfect. I think the fact that it's in Korea makes it super sick.
Yeah.
I'm sure it'll just be a good time there.
Yeah. So, well, we can talk about that, and then, yeah, but really briefly, let's do our normal shtick.
Shtick. I watched Dumb Money with Ashley.
Oh, I want to see that.
It's really good. It nails the emotional story beats and, like, the characters and stuff. It has one massive flaw.
Yeah.
And it's that it doesn't really explain any of the financial stuff. So if you do not already know what a short squeeze is and what was going on with the GameStop stop, they don't do it. It's not like the Big Short.
Big Short. It says that so well. Big Short's so good at
that. Big Short does it so well. And even then, sometimes it's a little too complicated.
Yeah.
And, like, you know, but at least it tried. And I appreciated that. And, like, I'd rather have it tell me something and I fail to understand it than it just be like, don't worry about it. You know, and that's kind of the vibe it gives, which is, like, a little annoying. Because there's, like, one scene where this one character's talking to the other one. He's like, do you know what a short squeeze is? And you're like, oh, they're finally going to explain it halfway through the movie. And then they still don't. And you're like, and so we left. And Ashley was like, I really liked it. What's a short squeeze?
Couldn't follow along with it. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's still easy to follow along with because it's just, like, more about, like, the characters and the journey and, like, you know, that stuff. But it was a big flaw to not cover some of the basics.
Yeah. Well, I was in Vegas this past weekend for MagicCon, and that was really fun. Met a bunch of folks that came up to me and they said they used to watch Hotline League all the time. That was
the classic.
Sense. Yeah.
I used to.
Dude,
that.
I used to watch your content all the time, and I just.
What happened, man? That's what you asked.
I always just say used to, and then they go, oh, dude, I'm sorry. I just, I don't watch League Esports anymore. You know, I got other stuff going on or whatever. They changed the time. But, yeah, it was really fun to meet a bunch of you there. Did we ever talk about the fact that I did see Bottoms? I think maybe we talked about it in person.
I don't remember.
Oh, yeah. So I did see it after your recommendation, and I would double down on that recommendation from Mark. It's really good. I think it's still in a few theaters in L.A. Like, I think they might have extended it, but I think it's also on Hulu already.
Yeah, it might be already getting some streaming service releases.
Yeah.
I was talking to someone else at Riot about it, someone whose opinion I respect, and he made a good point or two that, like, the third act is a little, like, in terms of, like, some of the conflict resolution.
Yeah, I liked it.
And I was like, yeah, that's true, but, like, I don't really think it's a plot kind of movie, you know? Yeah. So I was
the laughs and everything are
it's much more about the vibes and the jokes and, like, the themes that it's going for than, like, did the plot resolve in it. I'm like, you know, that's fair.
Yeah.
I'm sad that you have not beaten Baldur's Gate since we talked.
Yeah. I just haven't had a chance to. I've been getting ready for Worlds. We are a little bit of an update. There's a chance we might have a partner for at least some of Worlds coverage, which
everyone
jinx nice.
It.
Yeah,
I probably just jinxed it.
But so that's been keeping me busy, and then going to Vegas was a bit, and then getting ready for tomorrow has been a bit, and then getting ready to leave. Just so everybody knows, I'm going to be at Command Fest in Portland in about 2 weeks from now, a little bit less than 2 weeks. So if you live in Portland, go check that out. And then in the middle of October, I will also be at MTG Summit. These are both really cool Magic events for those that actually do care about Magic, unlike Mark. But I've been meaning a ton of you all there, and then we hang out in the Discord channel on my server and
let's run the poll again. Who cares about magic?
Some of my audience, and some. I would like to be able to tell them that I'm going to events.
No, that's fine. Anything else that I watched this week or did? Don't think so.
All right.
Been a busy week.
Great.
Saw whales, or went whale watching, saw a lot of dolphins, giant pod of dolphins, like 100 dolphins. It was sick.
Wait, really?
Yeah.
Where?
Newport Beach.
That's crazy.
Yep. It's not supposed to be the season for that, so I was like, oh,
sick. Yeah, well, you know, the climate. Anyway, let's get into the topics. So, we have New Jeans, we have TSM, and we have the LEC salary cap stuff, which I think is pretty interesting.
Yeah.
And anything else people have said to throw out.
Yeah. I think if someone has a Game Changers take, maybe we'll look at it. You know, yeah. I don't think either of us watched it since we were busy.
Why don't you give the spiel?
So the spiel, because it's the afternoon and people have not joined the server or maybe not used to it this time of day, this is actually a live call-in show. It'll be a little shorter. I don't think we'll go the full 2 hours, also given that we had a little bit of a slow start. We'll see how much we get through. But if you want to try and get on the show, there's a Discord that you can join. Type !! Travis or Discord, excuse me. In Twitch chat to get the link, go ahead, join up. Once you're there, join the pleb calls or sub calls voice channels, and we'd appreciate if you mute your microphone so we don't hear you speaking to people. You'll hang out in there, and you'll put your takes up above in the text channel. So whatever it is that you want to talk about, if you have an opinion, if you have a question, you'll post it up there. Travis today will actually be the one perusing, since we are in the same room, and I couldn't get into whatever. Point is, Travis will be pulling your takes, seeing which ones he likes. And you'll hang out in the waiting room until it's your turn to come on air.
Yeah. And if you are a sub, first off, thank you for being a sub. But make sure that you, and by the way, you can become a sub for way cheaper right now. It's September, the final week. And gifted subs are very discounted for those that like to give subs. But make sure that you sync your Twitch account with your Discord so that you can get access to the Subtopics channel. It moves a little slower. We're not going to be doing audio checks. So if you can, please make sure that your audio is checked. Like, you can go into the Discord audio settings and stuff, because if we drag you in and we can't hear you, we'll probably just drag you out and put you back in the waiting room. And if you can't get it fixed by the next time, then you will just move on to another caller. So make sure your audio is good. You can always, you know, talk to somebody else or something like that to make sure it's good. So let's dive into topics on our own first. Okay. I think. So, Mark.
Yes.
How much did you cry when TSM left the LCS?
You know, it was shocking. It was sudden. Yeah. I didn't see it coming. I didn't have time to emotionally prepare for it, you know, and they had just been so good so much recently, you know. They had done so much for the scene recently that it really just, like, tugged at my heartstrings to see them go.
Yeah. Same. Okay. How do you want to address this?
So, like, I think there's the correct way, which is to say it sucks to lose such a staple of the scene. TSM, you know, in a lot of ways, for the first 8 years, I'd say, was synonymous with the LCS. There was, like, no differentiation. The
TSM
league,
chants everywhere.
TSM chants worldwide, regardless of just North America. You know, the competitive side kind of ran through them. They were always in the final. They went to the first 10 straight finals. And even, you know, in 2022 and, you know, stuff like that, they were still competitive. They made a finals run. They were still getting MVPs. And all the way up until Bjergsen left, you know, they had this legacy for what felt like the first 8 years. I think the last two, you could tell there was a difference. There was a year where there was a pretty big mass exodus of both players and staff, and Lena left and all this stuff. And the org never quite felt the same after that. And so in that sense, they had already started slipping, I think, for a lot of people, a lot of fans and stuff. And so it's not quite as soul-wrenching as it might have been if, you know, it happened 2 years ago or something. But I think for a lot of fans, it's still scary to see the pillar of your scene leave.
Yeah, I think that is fair. I am surprised that there are so many dedicated TSM fans. Like, there are, if you go to that subreddit, there's a bunch of people, and you'll see this on Twitter too, who are like, I'm still a dedicated TSM fan, and I'm happy that we're leaving the LCS, because people like Azale never gave us the credit we're deserving. Like, I think that there was a point in time where you have the meme thing where it's like, the TSM fans look at all the stuff that went down, all the news that came out, everything that happened, and say, They asked themselves, are we the baddies? And then many of them abandoned the org. But the ones that stuck around, in order to do that, you have to like mentally justify this. And the way you do it is by saying, no, we're the victims. And so, like, I don't know. I mean, you've seen this, right? Like, the amount, like, the, there's this kind of weird victim complex, I feel like, among many of them that, oh, you know, the LCS didn't treat us right. Like, the Gabby monologue, or Azale tweeting that stuff, or, aha, the viewership's bad, and so we're going to go to greener pastures and all that stuff. And I'm just kind of like, I obviously very much disagree. I think you and I have both had to work with TSM over the years, and they have not been always the best, I feel like, partners for many people in the scene. As Mark's casting wizard spells on...
I fixed it.
Yeah. For podcast listeners, Mark's dealing with the out-of-focus stuff. But... that all that being said, those fans are so dedicated, so passionate to TSM.
They're following
that
them
they're gone, right? Like, and I think that is a bit of a bummer because I don't know if there are any fans in the LCS that are as dedicated to any of their teams as TSM fans are, for better or for worse. And so losing all those fans in the league, I think, is going to be a bit of a bummer, even if I'm not going to be tired. Even if I'm not going to miss seeing them in my YouTube comments and Twitter replies, you know?
Yeah, I think there's like some people who are obviously still fans of the players rather than the org or something, or, you know, like you try and support some people and stuff. So, I mean, I hear what you're saying. I think the reality is if you look at the amount of people that, and I was going to do a video about this. I don't know if I'll have time or what, but like.
I won't
do a video about this. I'll be honest.
Yeah.
Unless something radically changes in the near future with my what I'm doing. I was going to do a video talking about some of the reasons that you see this rather than trying to like tell you that you shouldn't like TSM, but at least explaining why, like, across the spectrum of esports, a lot of people have gotten kind of burned out or frustrated with dealing with TSM. And it's like, if Travis and Thorin and Azale are all on the same side of an argument, you know something's fucked. It's kind of the point that I would get to is like, no one seemed to like TSM anymore except the fans and the people who still work there. Yeah. And even some of the people who still work there didn't. So like, there are a lot of things behind the scenes that happened to cause that. And you know, I think it's unfortunate that it kind of got that far, that like it turned so antagonistic, because you would prefer if it didn't. But I think for a lot of people, in some ways, this is even a good thing, I think. Because yeah. We've talked about the okay, you've lost the history, you've lost the prestige, you've lost all this stuff. The nice thing is, let's face the facts, they were checked out for the last year in terms of not the people working there. You know, I think the players were still working hard. I think Glenn and Chowie and the people who came in and Revan and stuff worked hard. But the team was not given resources. The overall company was checked out from creating the same level of content that they used to, giving them the same resources, building the future of the LCS. They were trying to sell for over a year because they did not believe in the future of the LCS. And you know what? Fair enough. That's your opinion. But if you're not going to build it with us, then like, please get out and make room for someone who still wants to be a part of this project. So I think in that sense, that's the positive angle, is that hopefully Shopify will step up and do better.
Yeah. I mean, so we can talk maybe a little bit about the Shopify stuff. Okay, what did you think? What were your initial impressions when you heard that that was the organization that was taking the spot?
I don't know anything about them.
But so, what were your initial reaction? You were just like a shrug. It looks like you shrugged when they showed up.
I've never used Shopify. Never, like, I think I've heard of it.
You've definitely used Shopify.
I've never used Shopify.
Not as a, if you used it on the consumer endpoint.
How?
You've almost certainly bought, like, I think you bought something probably through, you said recently you bought something off the Dragonsteel website. I there's like an 80% chance that they use Shopify.
Oh, okay.
It's like if you want to set up your own store, a lot of people use Shopify.
So it's more like a business thing that helps.
It's an e-commerce platform.
Yeah. Okay. Well, then I guess I have used Shopify. I didn't know I was using Shopify.
Yeah.
Well, the WordPress of online stores. All right, that makes sense.
Yeah, actually, that's a great comparison. Yeah.
Yeah. B2B. Yeah. So, okay, cool. But I mean, like, I hope they, I don't know. Like, I think for me, a lot of it is less about, like, what's the name more like who's there. It's kind of the thing. Like, I don't know who is the one who helmed this up, because we've seen before someone's really passionate about esports at a company like this, and they're like the sole person driving all of this interest in esports or something.
Yeah. If I recall, it is the owner of Shopify, because Shopify has actually been in esports for a long time. They used to be in StarCraft. And then I think that they've expanded a lot in the last couple of years. If this is my limited knowledge of all this stuff. But I remember way, way, way back in the day, they used to put on, like, I think, like, Shopify events and stuff, or maybe they sponsored individual players. They have TLO. You didn't follow the StarCraft
season. Yeah, yeah, no, I know who TLO is, and I've seen people talking about him being, you know, thankfully, he's there, you know.
I would describe my attitude towards Shopify Rebellion as, like, very skeptical. I think, here's the thing. I was looking, and, like, in 2019, I think it was, EG, Dig, and Immortals all came in at the end of that year, or, like, beginning of that year. Like, within, like, a 12-month period, those folks all showed up.
Yeah, it was,
up.
Like, 2018 had franchising. Yeah. By the end of 2019, 2 years later, a bunch of new orgs had already joined.
Yes. And I know there's a bunch of drama about EG. I think overall they put together really compelling rosters, did a lot of interesting stuff, but obviously there's a lot of people who are not happy with EG as an org. And I don't think anyone's happy with Immortals or Dig as orgs. And so I'm kind of at the point now where it's like, no, I'm going to wait. And you, like, I default to, unless it is an existing org that I think had, like, if Mr. Beast came in, I'd be very excited about it. Or if, I'm trying to think of what esports orgs I would be excited about coming into the LCS. Is there anything, any existing orgs that you could think of? That
I don't really follow other esports. So, like, maybe Valorant's got some cool, I don't know, Sentinels? Isn't that, what are they who's Sentinels?
Okay, yeah, great example. Yeah, Moist or Disguised are great examples.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, I mean, like, I guess those, I don't.
Yeah, Optic was already in the LCS. They don't get, so far, orgs that were in the LCS and then left and they came back, I don't think have worked out. So I'm not excited about the idea of Optic coming back in. But I think that yeah, I just sort of start at a level of skepticism now. And then I'm going to look at the first 3 to 6 months of this team. And that is what will cement the org in my eyes, you know?
Yeah. NRG just won a championship, as people are saying. True.
I guess they were technically in the LCS previously. That's a good point.
Yeah, that's kind of fudging. That's fudging the numbers.
Yeah, it's weird because they didn't come in, like,
it's like saying Immortals was in the LCS before. It's like, yeah, they were, but, like,
that, I mean,
like,
I would say Immortals. That's, I do count Immortals and Dig as examples of that, even EG. Like, NRG came in and they just yoinked, like how much of that was an NRG win versus how much of that was a CLG win?
They,
I guess it's the best way of
putting their bot lane.
It. Yeah. Well, from what I've heard, there was a very good chance that would have happened no matter what.
Yeah. And I mean, they brought CLG. The coaching staff over. I mean, I appreciate that they didn't fuck up what was already mostly a winning recipe.
Yes.
Which is more than you can say for a lot of teams.
Yes.
And they did push their players. I think a lot of their content has actually been some of the more successful and innovative YouTube content.
Yeah,
we're tricking a coach into thinking that Dokla's a dipshit. You know, yeah. Like those sorts of videos I actually kind of enjoy watching.
So. No, that is fair. I think so far I'm happy to have NRG in the league. There's nothing that's been, like, utterly mind-blowing. Again, I know they won, but I don't give a ton of that credit to NRG themselves. But everything else has just led me to be skeptical at first sight. And then again, I'll look at the first half of next year and,
like,
see what they do.
NRG hasn't done anything wrong yet, but we're not sure that you're still skeptical because you've been burned too many times and you're traumatized.
Well, so here's the other thing. The rumor is, and I think I talked about this a little bit in my video. I think other people have talked about this too, that they are going to likely keep most of, if not all of, that TSM roster. Now, things change in the offseason. Maybe Faker becomes suddenly available and somebody over at Shopify is like, oh my God, we got to get him. Like, you know, nothing is locked until it's locked. But, like, Insanity, who I like a lot, has a Shopify logo and banner up on his social media, which is funny because my understanding was that he got dropped from TSM at the end of...
This is a totally different team. This is Shopify Rebellion.
But I don't think they could sign him yet because it's not free... I guess if he's a free agent, maybe they can sign him. I don't know how that works right now, but
I don't think you're supposed to.
Yeah, I don't think you're supposed to either. So it's that is very interesting to me that he already has Shopify branding. Maybe they can sign him as like a content creator. Maybe that's what he technically is.
Mm.
But anyway, like that at least is a sign. Not to mention also we heard that they were talking to a bunch of folks at like when they came in, like those players, that there's a good chance that they run back that roster, make minor changes, which I think is, I'm disappointed in. Like, I like those players, but if Shopify's coming in, I feel like TSM was a bit of a zombie by the end.
Yeah.
And I feel like, you know, that's not, unlike NRG coming in halfway through the year, I think this is not where you want to do what NRG did.
No, I mean, even then, NRG made changes. They changed the bot lane out. They grabbed pieces that had become available. I think, you know, like that roster that TSM put together was a cool one because it was like dipping into the TSM history of Turtle and Haunzer and stuff like that. And Shopify doesn't have that history just because they bought the spot. I don't think people are going to be like, oh, sick, look, it's Haunzer on Shopify now. That's not a shot at Haunzer. I just mean, like, in general, like the reasons that that was a kind of cool roster to follow from the TSM perspective, like those storylines don't carry through.
Yeah.
And maybe these five guys really like playing together and they don't think they hit their peak and there's improvements that could be made. Blah, blah, blah. You know, like, okay, but it's not a super big selling point to that, to what you're saying. You know, like, it's cool that it's always kind of cool when you keep a team together through an organizational change. But whereas NRG had like finished top half of the league multiple splits in a row, you didn't want to see it blown up. This is like, well, they finished like 7th, 8th and then lost in playoffs after a hard 5-game series. Like, I don't know.
Yeah. I don't.
It's not a splashy move.
Yeah. I don't feel like they're going to get a lot of fans out the gate with that. So I hope they put together something kind of compelling, but
and this is not like a done deal yet. As far as I know.
Yeah.
I don't know if maybe
in terms of like who will be, that's like what
maybe,
I was saying.
Maybe free agency hits and something falls in their lap and they're like, that's what I mean. All right. Yeah.
Faker becomes a free agent or Double Lift's looking for something or whatever. I mean, so, people can go look. I did a video.
I watched it
about the players that are going to become free agents. And, there are quite a few that are going to be. And so I think that it is worth, I think if you're Shopify Rebellion, this is a really good time to, pick stuff up. So, okay, we're starting to get some takes in the waiting room. I think maybe we just save the conversation about the salary, caps.
We can do it if you see one.
I see one. So we'll just put it there for now.
You start polling while I read out subs.
Oh,
isn't that how we do it now?
Well, I think I'm going to do an Alienware ad right now.
Oh, Alienware ad now.
I mean, there's no waiting. There's no poll. I just drag them into the room. You know.
I guess the nice thing about them being in the waiting room is that they're ready to go.
I mean, hopefully.
Oh, they are in the waiting room. Okay, you already pulled.
Yes.
Okay, I see.
Yes. So I'm going to talk about Alienware and their R16, the Aurora R16. This thing's new. It's beautiful. It's fantastic. It has a bit of a smaller footprint, if that is something that you are looking for. You know, I think I really love... Get your foot down. I really love the R15 and its size, but I know that for some folks, they are looking for something that can fit into a bit of a smaller space, or they are putting this into a dorm room or something along those lines. The R16 is an amazing computer for that. It's also, if you're in one of these dorm rooms, you're going to, you know, maybe you have a roommate like I do, who does not appreciate noise. And that's one of the things that's really cool about the R16 is that it runs quieter through a really great cooling system. So you can go check that out over at Alienware.com/Travis. Doing so supports the show and is very much appreciated. They've been a fantastic partner for us for years now. And as Mark and I were discussing at the start of the show, we use their products like crazy. I mean, Mark's got an Aurora sitting right next to him right now. He's got that full Alienware setup.
You can fit so much RAM in this bad boy. Slaps hood of Alienware product.
And so, and we absolutely love their stuff. I mean, everything in the studio, in the command center is created.
The TGI Alienware Command Center.
Yes, they're a fantastic company. So thank you so much to Alienware for supporting us. You can check them out at Alienware.com/Travis. There's a link in the description below. If you're watching on YouTube, there should be a link as well in the Spotify and podcast distributions. And then I'm sure Numi will slam that into the chat here in a second as well. But thank you so much to Alienware for sponsoring the show. All right. Let's go ahead. I'm going to join a room. And hopefully, I had to unplug and change some stuff before.
So who's going first? Just that they know they're about to get yoinked if they're listening to the stream.
We should have, who did I pull first? I think it was Josh Temple.
So Josh Temple.
Yes.
If you're watching the stream now.
Well, by the delay.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. I'm giving instructions. You mute the stream. You're about to get pulled on.
Yes. Here we go.
And get ready to unmute your microphone and all that. Yeah.
All right, so we have our first caller, which is Josh Temple. Josh, welcome to the show. Where are you calling from?
Berkeley, California.
From where? Berkeley, California?
Berkeley.
Berkeley, Berkeley.
In the Bay Area.
In the Bay Area, yes. What do you want to talk about on the show?
Salary caps. I think it's absolutely horrible. They serve only one group of people. They serve exactly the team owners to suppress player salaries. And I've read over the announcement about the LEC. It'll achieve one of two things. Option one, all the teams decide as things shift over that they just refuse to spend over the cap, in which, okay, now we've created a hard salary cap and players can only ever make a certain amount of money based off of whatever calculation, you know, Riot says is like, here's the cap.
It's $2 million per team, and then there's a luxury tax over the top of it.
Yeah, so I'm saying, and so like maybe they'll move the luxury tax threshold at some point, but then we've just created a hard cap. So now, no matter how much the revenue grows or whatever, we've created a hard cap for exactly how much the entire group of LEC players can make. Or the other option is, there are some teams like a Fnatic or a G2 or a Vitality that decide we're going to spend over the cap, which then, as they start, you know, paying their taxes into the pool, that just incentivizes the teams who aren't willing to spend that money to spend the minimum, just spend the 50% of the cap. So then they reduce expenses as much as possible on player salaries, and then they get to pocket the checks that are being fed to them by the big team. This is the exact, if you look at, I'm a big baseball fan, this is the salary, the luxury tax system is exactly what we have in baseball. And this is what happens. The biggest teams who have the biggest fan bases, who have the best, local media rights deals, who make the most money, are willing to spend over the luxury tax. And all the other teams, all the owners look at their bottom line and say, we can't spend the same as much as these guys, so why are we trying? We're just going to keep salary as low as possible, and we're going to pocket the checks. That's what it will accomplish. It won't, make a more it'll make a more financially stable ecosystem for exactly the team owners at expense of the players, of the workers.
So, I should mention that. So this yesterday got reported on this by Animatonium. I struggle with his name, but. He reported it, and then today, officially, if you go look at the LEC website on LOL Esports, they have an article going up about LEC introducing Sporting Financial Regulations, SFR, and it talks about how there's going to be both a floor and a ceiling, a soft ceiling, I guess, where 50%, if you spend more than the amount, if you spend over the cap, then you have to give 50% of that back as a fee, and it'll go to the tier two ecosystem. So you're basically paying, this tax over the top of $2 million. Interesting, this post does not disclose what the numbers are, which I think is very funny because,
What's the floor? 100,000? Yeah, or a million?
It's already got reported, I think if they're going to come out and talk about the percentages and stuff, they should just publicly state what these numbers are.
I personally think the numbers are functionally irrelevant. What matters is that if LEC players accept this and it goes through and there isn't pushback, it creates the precedent of this is the system that will be forever. So it doesn't matter if, there's huge growth or whatever, there's always going to be put a limit on how much the players can make. And that's what this is doing. It exists to because, when the economy was great and, there was so much venture capital fueled by a whole bunch of debt, teams were willing to just throw around money to get the best players. And they suddenly realized, looked around and oh, crap, interest rates are up. We're not making any money because we signed all these players to huge contracts that are outside of our means. So now what are they doing? What's our biggest expense? Player salaries. how do we cut player salaries? You implement a salary cap. This is like the classic move of sports leagues, especially with franchising, is this is the biggest expense. How do we become profitable? We cut down our biggest expense. That's what they're doing.
Yeah, so the interesting thing here is I tweeted about this yesterday because I was, my first reaction was, wow, I'm really surprised this is possible, because in Europe, they tend to be a little less what people would say is like pro business. Like they have a lot more regulations. Notably, the iPhone now is going to have USB-C on it because Europe bullied them into it. Like there's a lot of things like that.
There is like a legal question of, is this even legal? Because I know that like football or soccer in Europe has tried to implement similar salary caps and they've never been like, it's, you know, never worked because a whole bunch of, you know, Spain and Germany, whatever, have really strong protections where employers can't do this sort of thing without some sort of collective bargaining agreement.
Yeah. And in Overwatch League, the US government actually came after them and because for instituting something like this, even though supposedly it was never like salaries never got to a point where that rule came into play. The very fact that the rule existed meant that Activision Blizzard had to settle with them for some money. And so I'm like, well, if they can't get away with this in the US, I'm surprised they can get away with it in Europe. The other thing that was very funny to me was the replies to this tweet were all like, no, this is pro-labor, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, I am so confused how this is pro-labor. I don't know.
Well, they're saying, I read one comment quickly. Travis has it up and we're scrolling through it. Someone said it's pro-labor long-term, which, like, the idea being that teams would drive the scene to the ground, there'd be no scene in 5 years or something, but...
Yeah, I get...
So it's pro-labor by incentivizing teams to spend less on players. That's a real big brain take right there.
So here's kind of my take. One, I think that there should probably be, like, I somewhat disagree with you, Josh, in that I think it is perfectly healthy for the LEC to have some sort of way to discourage teams from spending outside of their means because they have demonstrated that they can't hold themselves back, especially in North America. I think it's been less LEC, which is why I'm a little surprised that LEC feels they need this, but I clearly they cannot. My frustration is that there is not any kind of PA over there where, like, the players get some sort of concession out of this. Like, I think it's fine for this to exist, but I feel like it should be coming at, like, it's not like Riot the is players, instituting this and then also saying, and by the way, we're going to balance the equation by implementing a bunch of cool things for the players or ensuring players are protected in these areas or something like that. So,
yeah, at the very least, like when they're talking about, oh, like here's like the factors that are going to go into like where we set the line at the very, very minimum, that has to be collectively bargained. Like you can't, like Riot can't, like should not just be allowed to say like, here's the calculation, and then the players have to accept it. Like, the players need to be able to negotiate, be like, it's the league exists only because of their labor. Like, they have to, at the very minimum, have a say in, you know, this entire structure of...
I mean, they could.
Like, what... That's those,
if
like,
only someone had demonstrated the power of collective...
Yeah.
Exactly. That's,
so if that's only another league around the world had this, like, example that maybe... The European teams and players could follow.
So Josh, I know you're eager, but I want to get Mark in here too. So Mark, what's your take? Because you're a traditional sports fan.
I mean, like, I like the idea of them in theory, but I think luxury tax is just a bad way of doing it. Because as Josh already highlighted, it doesn't really fix anything. It's just like, all right, yeah, the ballers will still ball out, and the little boys will still like just suckle on the teat of the big boys. You know, as one does.
A descriptive analogy.
I think the only one who has a good one is the NFL. And because it's kind of a harder cap, as I understand it. And so, like, you just can't do dumb bullshit. And, like, salaries are more guaranteed in the NFL, if I remember correctly.
No, they're
less guaranteed.
The NFL has by far the worst salary cap for players. It is incredibly bad for players. It is, like, that, like, the NFL is incredibly successful in depressing the salaries of their players. It's ridiculous.
Yeah. So at least I like
and Mark likes that.
Yeah, I like that. No, I like Mark's salary caps with hard limits, just because there's like the luxury tax thing doesn't seem to work in baseball and the NFL. I don't really follow NBA. I don't really follow NHL. People say that has a good hard cap rule. I'll take their word for it. I just mean that broadly speaking, if your point is to protect parity in the league, luxury tax doesn't do that. And so
I don't think it's salary cap does it.
Let Mark finish,
Josh.
Let Mark
Josh,
finish.
You're 2 seconds away from getting muted, buddy.
let Mark finish. I keep asking for that. Go ahead, Mark.
Yeah, you can debate whether or not it works, but that's the point. I think that my understanding of this is that it sounds really jank because they can't do this legally around salaries. They have to do operational costs so that they're not technically suppressing the salaries of EU pros. They are suppressing, like, spending of the team broadly.
It's calculated based on a number of considerations, including LEC player salaries, league revenue pool of the current and forecast this year, team financial data. Oh, I guess that's how they're coming up with the number. But it says...
Yeah, that's the threshold. But if I understand it, is the total sum of salaries paid to the top five players within a certain range? Oh, no, it's just the salaries.
Yeah, it's just the top five highest paid players.
Yeah, that seems pretty illegal. I don't know. Like, I don't know anything about...
We don't know about German
like,
law.
We'll admit that like we're dumb shits about this. I don't see how you can do that, but maybe I'm wrong. And if that's the case, yeah, it's really fucked up that the players don't get a seat at the table. That they like, you know, they're basically like, trust our calculations, bro, based off those things that Travis was just saying. I know a lot of people are like, it's so lame that like our teams need, you know, regulations to make sure they don't do anything short-sighted or dumb. And I'm like, hello, every financial institution around the world, you know, like every business, every financial institution. Hey, Unity, what did you just do? That was really smart. You know, like,
yeah,
people will headshot themselves left or right. Businesses do this all the time. And like, as an ecosystem, Riot understandably doesn't want these businesses that they're in bed with to keep headshotting themselves around stupid spending. They burn out all their VC capital. They have to sell, blah, blah, blah. So like, I do understand from a like, standpoint of like, this is what we've seen in the scene for the last handful of years. Things are not sustainable in Korea. Things are not sustainable in North America. And I don't think things, from my understanding, are very sustainable in Europe. And so like, if you want to get to sustainability, you do have to start doing some things. Is this the right thing to do? I don't know. It sounds really weird to cut the players out. But at the end of the day, like, yeah, how many times have you watched someone, like a business, burn itself down?
Yeah.
And then, you know, oh, well.
But I very much agree with Josh's main point here about this is like, this is not pro labor. This is not something that the players should be excited about. I even saw one person in the replies who was like, I think the Players Association would support this. And like, they would definitely not support this. Like if the player, especially if this came in without any concessions, no, them not having a seat at the table, which seemingly that's what this looks like. It's not like this looks like it was in partnership with any
because they don't tell us what the floor is. It could already be what the minimum salary guarantee is. Right. You know, like you might not have actually gained any ground in that regard.
So I don't want anybody to think that this is something that is somehow pro player or something that the players would be in favor with.
For people who don't know what's wrong in Korea, go look up Genji Arnold's Twitter. He talks about it frequently. Just that competing prices with the LPL, as well as lack of income from, you know, sponsors and just revenue generating streams, they're just spending more than they're making because they have to keep their players in Korea with pretty big, otherwise NA swoops in, or, you know, like the whole global ecosystem in League of Legends right now. The problem is you're not generating enough money, and teams who have pools of money will spend that money but not get anything back in the long run, and then the whole scene just loses out.
So Ines Chuchin says, okay, real question. Could Travis get an expert like the esports lawyer on the broadcast right now? Because this lack of knowledge is not helpful. I could tell you that those people would also not be helpful. What we really need is a German labor lawyer, not like an esports lawyer or former team GM or something like that. Devin Nash is not going to help us out here. It's if anybody has a German esports labor lawyers, maybe I could talk
plenty,
to them.
Plenty
this.
Of esports lawyers will tell you they could help.
Yeah, yeah.
There's a lot of people. They are ready to hop on and tell you how they can help.
A lot of opinions about this stuff.
You know what? You might seem it strange to see a group of people say, "Yeah, we don't know," But that's actually a really good thing when someone who doesn't know says that instead of just pretending they do.
Yeah, but I think we can talk about sort of how this stuff works in the general sense on esports and where the competing interests are.
Well, and like, yeah, I can agree it's not pro labor. I think it's fucked about the players not getting a seat at the table, it sounds like. Like you said, like, what are the mechanisms by which this price is renegotiated as these things change, or is Riot controlling everything? Those are all very valid concerns, but I think you have to also acknowledge that the scene is struggling right now worldwide. And some I understand Riot wanting to protect its interests.
Yeah. I think, you know, thinking about, you know, talking about, you know, labor law in Germany, and so like the way that, you know, the way that football clubs in Europe are run is it's called financial fair play, and it's essentially you can't spend more like above a certain you can't lose like a certain amount of money per year, is like, you know, you can't reserve like a percentage of your revenue or whatever, you know, per year is like not what you're allowed to use, because, you know, there's a whole bunch of sovereign wealth funds that have, you know, bought major clubs and billionaires and whatever, who just like, it's just a vanity project where you pump billions and billions of dollars into it, and you don't care about like the financial health. You just saddle the club with a whole bunch of debt. I think that would be a much, if the goal is creating, as it should be, a more financially stable esports ecosystem, it should be on the onus should not be on the players to be the one to make concessions. It should be the teams to be like, maybe it's not sustainable to just be running this entire scene off of venture capital and the hope that like revenue is going to grow in the future.
Josh, thank you so much for the call. Anything you want to shout out?
No, thank you very much.
Yeah, thanks for coming on.
So I'm obviously from that call in favor of players being looped into things, but I'm also willing to acknowledge that it's not just pro player spending, like the facilities that we always make fun of, the $20 million, the $50 million esports training facilities that we saw are a joke. But
dude, I heard that the TSM one got abandoned. Like with it, which is crazy because they announced it, built it, and then it's just fucking
did they ever
empty.
Build it? Because the last thing I remember seeing is them kind of like walking through this big concrete structure.
No, I think they were playing out of it for a while, or like especially at the end of COVID stuff. So it was, I think it was up, and now it's just empty.
Yeah. Where I was going with that was that like a lot of pro players were drastically overpaid for the last 5 years. Like, no offense, Academy players, you should not be getting $500,000 to sit in Academy. And like, no offense, players coming from other regions, you know, like millions of dollar contracts are not, you don't have that much value in like the economic game. It was only inflated because of the VC stuff. So, you know, it's a complicated ecosystem, but it, so to a couple other points, a lot of people have said that there's only like one team over 2 million right now in Europe, apparently. I think Cajal said that. Yamato said most teams aren't over it, apparently, according to what Twitch chat's saying. So like,
I'm just confused as to why this needed to happen in the first place.
Yeah, if you're not over 2 million operating expenses with your top five players averaging at that point 400,000 or under 400,000 per pro, like, well, why'd you do it then?
Yeah,
like,
it seems like a lot of scuttlebutt for no. I mean, maybe they're bringing in some team they're worried is gonna drop a shit ton of money or something on that, but like,
yeah, like maybe like K Corp joins and they try to make a splash or something. Like, I don't
really, and I know we didn't reference the fact really well that the excess ends up going to the rest of the ecosystem, including tier two and stuff.
Yeah,
but I'm like, I don't. Like, people are celebrating that. I'm like, I guess it's better than like Riot pocketing it, which is probably what the alternative would have been. But I'm also like, I don't imagine that this is going to be a significant driver of wealth into that and revenue into that space, you know?
Yeah. If one team, I mean,
if one team's like $100,000 over, and then,
yeah, I mean, if you're, you'd have to go somewhat significantly over, because otherwise it's like, here's 50,000 split across the entire tier two ecosystem. It's like, okay.
Yeah, I mean, because that's what I mean. I think it gets maybe interesting at a point in time where it's like, because it's 50% of it, right? They're paying a tax.
Yeah. So if you pay $100,000, you then have to pay $50,000 more to tier two.
Yeah, exactly. So it's like, how high do they have to get before it's like actually interesting? They have to pay $3 million. I mean, there's so many mouths to feed in tier two that I don't know, I just think it's whatever.
Yeah, I don't really understand.
All right.
I will also say that means that there's no one going to be sitting at the bottom of LEC, though, and collecting paychecks for existing from other teams.
So it's a fascinating time. What
if Portillo City?
Patillo said, what's the latest news? Yeah, the latest news is about TSM and all this stuff. Twitter the popping
latest
off.
Latest news is that I've left my home.
Yeah, I said, I tweeted Special Emergency Hotline League to talk about the latest news, and people are like, oh, he's fucking clickbaiting. And I'm like,
I mean, there's an article that came out today.
Yeah. Yeah. All right.
Anyways, yeah, I don't know. I'm curious to see how it evolves from here and if this gets them in hot water or if this is somehow doable.
I assume they vetted it. I mean, you never know. Activision did this, and they have good lawyers, theoretically, but I assume Riot doesn't walk into this without knowing what they're walking into. All right, some quick shout-outs before we get on to the next caller. Thank you to, let's see, Grandpa Finch for the 5 subs, SkyG, Pot of Max Whales, Ostrider, Seaman Demon, Spud Tugger, Mendoc, Fly Right, Gravity Music, Sour Eggs, Colombiano, XP, Hustbust, Profit Guru, Mardix, Lit Drummer Boy, Death Roy, Steve Wisey for 30 months, Zwetman, and John G365. Thanks to everybody for the subs. It is September, so if you want a sub, now's a great time. And by the end of September, this is going to go away. But if you're going to sub for multiple, if you're going to keep your sub on through like Worlds and off-season and all that stuff, you can sub for multiple months in advance at pretty big discounts. So it's just a way for you to save money if you're planning on staying subbed anyway. And I do appreciate that. And gifted subs are on sale right now if you want to help with Worlds and off-season coverage and all that stuff. It's a great way to support the show. Thank you to Parthos and the Little Giant. All right, we're going to grab our next caller, who is Nickelodeon. Nickelodeon.
Damn, the whole company's calling in?
If you are, yeah, they're calling in.
Is it Face? Hey there, Face here. Remember Face? It's just a big colored rectangle.
It must have been before my time.
Travis didn't get to have a childhood, I understand.
I watched all that and SpongeBob. And
you got me too.
Yeah. I watched Nickelodeon. All right. Yeah, we're going to get slimed. Here we go. Nickelodeon is here. Nickelodeon, where are you calling from?
Hi. I'm calling from Baltimore.
Baltimore. Where do you want to talk about on the show?
So my take was with TSM and CLG leaving, and maybe others leaving as well, and the rumored rebrand of the LCS, 2024 is going to be a prime year to gather new fans.
And what do you want to expand on this a little bit?
So I just think with legacy brands leaving, there's perfect time for new orgs to move in, bring in fan bases, and people to become fans of new teams.
Go ahead.
And just with the rumored rebrand of the LCS, they're able to maybe move more marketing towards bringing in new fans with a new experience.
So yeah, let's focus on the idea of like Riot should be looking at this as an opportunity to bring in new fans.
I'm going to disagree right out the gate. It's not a great time for new fans. It's a good time for old fans to get out. Get out while you can. Okay. Anyways, continue.
Yeah. So I was saying that I think, yeah, I think it is fair to say, hey, CLG left, TSM left. I don't know how many CLG fans there were left. I feel like there were not
dozens
that many
of them. Dozens.
But with TSM going, I do hope that Riot is going to put a lot of emphasis on building fandom into these new teams next year. Because I think there's also going to be a situation where, you know, I always talk about roster swaps and all that stuff and the rotating thing. I think this offseason is going to be the fucking craziest offseason we've ever had.
I doubt it.
Why?
Why would it be?
Because there's a ton of player contracts that are expiring, and then a bunch of teams are going to try to drop what they're spending in salaries next year, which means that the teams that, if they're approaching a player that is currently on their roster and they want to lower their salary, that is an opportunity to either renegotiate or for that player to leave. And I think you're going to see a bunch of people who stuck around for the money probably retire.
I agree with what Yami said. You say that every year, though. It's like every episode of Hotline League is a special episode of Hotline League. Every year of the offseason is the best
I didn't say it's going to be the best offseason. I think it's going to be really bad.
You said it's going to be the craziest. Whatever. Point is,
is there not a, have I not also spoken to the fact that we have an increasing amount of instability in the league in terms of player and roster turnover?
You mentioned it. I'm just saying.
You're
just trying to gas people up to watch your videos.
No, every year, I'm not trying to gas anybody up. I'm saying it's like shitty. But and it's going to be something that the league.
But make
has
sure
to
you stay
for.
Here tuned to Travis Gafford Industries YouTube channel to follow any of the latest developments. Yeah, I know what you're doing. I know this hustle.
Mark, you think that rosters are not? It's not going to be a crazy offseason, it sounds like.
No.
Okay. Can you elaborate on why?
I just got a feeling.
You just got a feeling, huh?
In the Jimmy's.
Fucking interesting. Maybe I could just chuck things at you right now because you're in person.
All right. Sorry. I've derailed your take, Nickelodeon. Explain like some of the things that you think you would like to see Riot do with, as Travis said, potentially a very interesting offseason with player salaries, new orgs coming in. Losing some of the other ones. What do you think? What are some things that Riot should be looking at?
So with new orgs, maybe Riot can just put out like promo pieces on, hey, this org is joining the LCS. Maybe just focus on like, hey, look at these guys. They're new. They might be doing exciting things. They might not do well initially, but they might come here and eventually just dominate the league. So just introducing you to them, their brand, and just the players that they end up signing. Maybe some old faces are on those teams. Maybe some new ones.
I mean, I definitely agree that Riot should be promoting these new teams, get fans excited about them, trying to attach fans to these teams. I will say that is the baseline of what I would hope they do. Maybe not the ceiling of what I think Riot could do, because I actually kind of agree with the premise of your take about how this is the perfect time for Riot to really try and change things up. It's not been the best year for viewership. I think sentiment's in a weird spot. I don't know if you feel the same way, where there's like some people who are cautiously optimistic and like.
Yeah, I think there are a lot of things. I'll share my own personal sentiment, which I think is part of a lot of the community feel this way. There were a lot of things that were great this year and a lot of things that were fucking awful this year. And so it's definitely been the most lopsided year in a while, because there's a lot of times where I'm just like, oh, yeah, a lot of things suck this year. This year, I was like, this was great, but oh my God, that was awful. You know, it's such a weird year for the LCS.
Yeah, I feel like 2020 and 2021 kind of just like floated by.
Yeah.
Like, I don't really like
what we were just like sliding a little bit over the last 3 years. And then this year, it was just like, I think overall, it was not a good year for the LCS.
No.
But I do think that it, like, because Riot, I think you were saying sliding. I think Riot didn't do much during those years. So they just sort of started slipping and slipping and slipping. And now the avalanche has begun and they're trying to fix certain things. And some of these improvements have been good, but I think certain things have only accelerated in terms of the damage.
Yeah. I think obviously I have to stem the bleeding with those choices that are hurting the product, like you're saying, but I do think that the fandom could really use a jump start in some way. And you know, marketing materials are great to the caller's point, but I think you really want something that will help differentiate you. I think if I was going to try and quantify, it'd be like, you have to give fans, like you're saying, new fans potentially here, a reason to watch. Like, why would you watch the LCS over the LEC? Why would you watch it over the LPL? Why would you watch it over the LCK? And that's really hard to do when you're the fourth best of those regions with the fourth highest probably size of
we're pretty comparable with LEC. Last episode you went on a huge rant talking about
in performance. I agree. Okay, like it's actually gotten pretty close in recent years, but like we haven't actually beat, like you can't say we're better yet because we haven't proven. Like they're still better. Okay, fair enough, but the gap is close,
right?
But you can't sell people like, why are you watching LEC? LCS is better, you know? Like I think our personalities are good. I think we're entertaining, but to be fair, the LEC product, they're also very entertaining. You know, they do music videos. Vettius and Dracos and Cage Roll are great, you know? Like, so I think going into next year, Riot needs to figure out what's going to make the LCS pop, not just for like global fans to like, hey, abandon your current league and come join us, but also just like to hook fans who might have slipped out of watching or had never watched and give it a chance.
So Numi in the chat had said like, hey, isn't this more the responsibility of orgs? And I I feel like you're laughing because you already
know
what
you're
I think.
Say, yeah.
I don't have much faith in the org's ability to do this. Like, I just don't, I don't feel, I think we have a lot of orgs that are waiting to leave and or have demonstrated that they are incapable of this. And I just don't have high hopes for their ability to follow through. So, yeah.
Kind of like what we were just saying with the financial situation and how you can't trust orgs to kind of act appropriately. And so you might need to implement some financial regulations to protect your scene. I think it's somewhat of a similar thing here with what the product is, and not even necessarily on a competitive angle. Like there's a huge conversation this year around scrims. Like, I don't really think that's something that Riot should step in and try and control, you know, like, how do we get more competitive? It's like, you know, they tried Champions Queue. They actually, I will say, to Riot's credit, they have tried a number of things to get the scene more competitive. And I appreciate those things. Have they worked? It doesn't really seem like it. And yeah. to that point, it's like, okay, well, we can't really trust the orgs to, like, keep their rosters consistent or produce, like, super great content these days or, you know, attach fans to them that easily. So we need to do more ourselves.
Yeah, I think that's right. I do hope the players step up too, but that's a bit of a separate conversation.
And again, to be fair to the players, I do think they were one of the highlights this year.
Yeah. No, I think that's fair. A lot of them did step up. That is a good call.
You know, they did a lot of content with us in the broadcast team. Some of our ideas were weird, you know, like, hey, Revenge, slide down a thing and eat a hot dog. It's like 2 years ago. Who the fuck would have done that? You know? Yeah.
Yes.
Like, I don't think you could have gotten the pros to do a lot of what they did 2 or 3 years ago this year.
Yeah.
From this year, yeah.
Okay, Nickelodeon, thank you for the call. Anything you want to add here before I give you your shout-outs?
I think you guys covered about everything.
Very good. What do you want to shout-out?
The name and group on Twitter and Twitch and Alienware.
Yeah, thank you so much for the call. We'll catch you next time.
Have a good one.
Yeah. All right. Let's see. We've got a couple more subs. We got at Althalus Aven, Magi Milk, or Mick, Infectious Rash, and Pilgrim Panda. Sorry if I ever mispronounce your names, everybody.
Man, Magi Mick is just talking in Twitch chat too. You keep disrespecting him to his face.
Oops.
Oops.
Oopsie whoopsie.
Right. That's the corporate classic. Oopsie whoopsie. Dumped oil in the ocean.
I made a fucky wookie. Okay. We're going to pull Numi in right now. She might be our last call of the night, depending on Mark's schedule. I think we got to wind down soon, right?
Yeah, probably in the next 10 minutes, 20 minutes. Okay,
cool. All right. We have Numi here. Numi, what do you want to talk about on the show?
Hi. I kind of want to talk about NewJeans doing... or performing the world's anthem for 2023. And I think it's really good for the scene to have a crossover, specifically a League of Legends or video games / K-pop crossover. I think crossovers are good for this industry and the scene and kind of provides collaboration that you never really see on like a day-to-day basis.
I think all that is true because when I saw the announcement, I said, oh my God. I was really hoping that they would come through. You know what I mean? And then they did.
Thank you, Travis. I'm glad to know that you watch TikTok.
All right. Do you want to elaborate on any of this, Newbie?
Yeah. So NewJeans is a 5-person K-pop group. They've gone viral in the last year on TikTok just for like TikTok dances. And they're actually a fairly new group as well. So I think in terms of like K-pop crossover, I think it's really interesting. And I think a lot of people have heard the World song as well. And some people who know the group have commented that it's not really World's sounding, at least for the group. But I think, like, to push an artist to do stuff like that is cool. But also for, like video games, right? And, like, the esports industry. I think it's cool to have crossovers, like KDA, right? Like, that was a music video game collaboration that had huge crossover. And, like, merchandise, music videos, promotional advertisement, like... who's to say that we can't be excited about stuff like that again? So I think a lot of people are just like, I see some discourse on like the world's anthem doesn't sound great. And I'm like, in what interpretation are you referring to? Because I think there's a huge opportunity for marketing and advertisement that I hope Riot will do, especially since the world's anthem is about DRX's, or at least at the time, DRX Def's story. There's a lot of different things that Riot can do with that.
As someone who listens to K-pop, yeah, do you feel like it sounds like NewJeans? Like this song sounds like NewJeans?
I personally do not. I think NewJeans kind of popularizes themselves on like a cutesy kind of vibe. So obviously a world's anthem, at least this one's very epic, orchestral, grand sounding, which is kind of the opposite of their vibe. But I do know that this is a Riot produced song, right?
Riot should have gone with a cutesy vibe for world anthem this year, I think.
Can I get like Star Guardian?
Yeah. Yeah, Deft is so kawaii, you know?
Super shy. But,
no, I think like as an artist, in terms of like when I look at this group, I can see them pushing themselves to like fit this vibe. And obviously like I trust the music production. I've seen the producers on this song and like what they've done in the past. Like a lot of World's Anthem songs have sounded really cool to the point where we still talk about them today. So I trust that it will sound great, and like we'll hear it in what, a week and a half from now, whatever the timeline it was. So I'm excited. I think it's a big, fun crossover, and I think other people should be excited, especially because I miss international competition. I want Worlds to start so bad.
I mean, I think it's really cool that they got NewJeans to do it. I think their traditional kind of music doesn't seem to match up with what a World's Anthem is to most people, but when you listen to like the thing that's released, the sample so far, and the orchestral version, it does feel like it will be more riot-y than it is NewJeans-y. There's like a part in the middle which seems like pick up to like the usual pace of a NewJeans song. So like I think they'll probably try and blend it. I will say, as someone who does appreciate World's Anthems, I do feel like sometimes the ability to implement what makes that individual or that group stand out does not come through. I think sometimes the artist can get washed out in the like you could sub anyone in at that point.
When was the, because people also I feel like didn't like over time, I feel like a Star Walkin' grew on people, but I think a lot of people felt like it didn't feel,
well, that's because that was actually his stuff.
Yeah.
Like that was a song that like he had already kind of created, and then like,
but I thought people also didn't like it as much as a Lil Nas X song.
I don't know. I'm not a Lil Nas X. I mean, I listen to Lil Nas X.
Yeah.
And like, I don't know.
I wonder if, because I'm trying to think of when was the last like banger Worlds song where people were like, this is great, great and emblematic of the artist and also a fantastic fit for Worlds.
I'd probably Rise. I don't know. Warriors is loved. Burn It All Down. Do people like that?
Rise was 2018, right?
What's the Phoenix song or the Legends Never Die? You know, like I think between 2014 and 2019, you had a lot of bangers or whatever it is, whatever that time period was. Takeover was okay, but as a Jeremy McKinnon fan, as someone who listens to A Day to Remember, I was like, where is his scream? Like, why would you get a pop punk post hardcore-y kind of guy? And I know they do a lot of like poppier things, but it was just like, I guess you could like, fair enough. I was just very disappointed when I'm like, oh, A Day to Remember's lead singer is on your song? Oh, you do none of the things that like A Day to Remember is known for? Like, oh, okay.
I just think if folks do think it's Rise, or maybe they think Phoenix, though I think Phoenix was not as considered well. We're looking at like 4 to 5 years since the last time one of these these things came out. I mean, we'll see. Obviously, we don't have the full song. But I do think it is worth noting that we might be in a world where it's been half a decade since people were like, hey, this was both a song that was emblematic of the artist's capabilities and really great fit for Worlds.
So what I'll say, too, is like Star Walkin', I didn't love as a Worlds anthem because it kind of petered out towards the end of the song as opposed to like building to a climax. Right. I felt like that's the song Lil Nas X wanted to make. I'd prefer that. I'd prefer to like have the anthem not perfectly fit.
Yeah,
and like make a song that the artist is excited about for me, or like at least try and incorporate a little bit more. I also think the video matters a lot. Like I thought the Star Walkin' video kind of sucked.
Yeah, I think that was the general, and I feel like they stopped playing the video really quickly. Like if I recall,
like it was a really cool idea. Champions as Mecca piloted by the pros.
Yeah,
that is such a fucking sick concept. But it was like a lot of just like walking around a city and like standing there and like, I'm on my mech, motherfucker. And then, like, right as the song is slowing down, that's when the fight starts. It was clear that, like, the song and the video did not
develop separately.
Yeah, and I thought that like, kind of hurt. So
yeah, I feel like they released the video and then quietly, like, didn't do anything else with it. I don't feel like they played it that much. It wasn't involved in the final
ceremony.
The
fight wasn't even in. Like, they all just jump in the air and do that kind of thing where you see one attack but no actual fight. So, like, I thought that was a really cool execution. Like, my point being that the song matters with how the delivery comes across. So
yeah, I don't know. If for instance, based off your methodology, if Olivia Rodrigo did a world anthem,
I want to be sad as fuck.
Yeah, yeah, okay.
I want it to be the perspective of the loser, not the winner. But that's my point. Like, if you're gonna
to be clear, Guts is more. She's more angry.
And I like some of her more poppier, angrier stuff too.
Yeah, yeah.
She learned the F bomb. She drops a lot of F bombs on that one.
Yeah, yeah. Well, in both, she does.
She's a little.
That was kind of the whole thing.
Yeah, edgy.
Yeah.
Wow.
She said in a Wired interview that I watched today that she likes a lot of four-letter words, which is why, like, Guts is the name of the album. She's like, I like Guts because it's a four-letter word.
So
and there's a lot of four-letter words
that's so
that I like.
And cool. Yeah. You know, who's the girl that everyone hated because the boyfriend ended up getting with that girl? I like her music more, actually. Whatever her name is. Whatever that drama was.
We're timing out David. He's saying, speaking heresy in the chat.
What'd he say? Dude, give me Taylor Swift. Travis. Taylor's Travis. Version. What will you? Taylor Swift would be fucking.
I don't. Travis.
Yikers. All right. Anyway.
Bro, you're talking about Olivia Rodrigo and then like getting mad at.
Yeah, I think.
Swifties? Get out of here.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of that. Okay. Anyway, let's get back on topic. Yeah, look, I think it's great that they're working with NewJeans. Whenever the email that I got from Riot, when I replied to it, I just said, "Holy shit, this is going to be huge," and because I do think it's a big deal. Like there, it's actually the perfect time to be like, this is like collabing with Olivia Rodrigo in 2020, right? Like
it's like their peak. It's a peak in NewJeans music. Also, someone in chat is saying Sabrina Carpenter. I didn't want to say if it was Sabrina Carpenter, if that's what. The artist that Mark was referring to, like yep. 5 minutes ago.
Doesn't matter. Not relevant.
I think NewJeans is at a peak right now in their career, and I think it makes sense for a collaboration. Obviously, this is a huge collaboration. Millions of people are going to be watching, like, in the arena and online. Obviously, it's held in Korea. Like, they are a Korean group. One of the, like, artist is actually Vietnamese as well, who speaks Korean, which I think is a little interesting. I just think it's going to be fun, and I think everyone being, like, Debbie Downer that it's not a great world anthem song or it doesn't fit, like we have something, y'all, just stop being
Debbie we have Downer. Something the bar
like, we have something,
the floor is so low for you.
Yeah, I mean they're a cool group, they're pretty diverse, there's like a bunch of them are Australian as well, so like they have a cross-cultural like ability, because like if you a lot of them speak English perfectly well, you know, like they're not yep. just like they're very, I don't know, universal appeal is what I'm trying to say. Like, it's easy to get along yeah. and like their music. So I think people will be surprised if you never listen to like a lot of NewJeans or you don't know much about them. But I also think, one, we haven't heard the song, so who knows? But I like the idea. I don't think we've ever had an actual K-pop group do a world song. We've had like Jackson Wang show up for parts, or like you get some of the people to perform.
Soyeon from G Idol was part of KDA, but she's like one individual.
Yeah, exactly. They'll get parts of KDA groups or individuals from KDA groups or K-pop groups to do things collaboratively, but they've never just been like, "All right, Blackpink, let's throw down, fuck it," you know, like.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Yeah, Noomi. I guess my takeaway is I'm a little more like you seem to just be like, we have something. I don't. That doesn't do it for me.
I also see it from the angle, just like, look, like we have a K-pop fandom that is excited to have a group like going on international stage. Obviously, Riot Games is a huge collaboration. So there's a, if you want to talk about this, right, like another fandom that would be helping out esports, I say that very loosely, in terms of like attention, in terms of like crossover, like fandom's already going to be like, oh, if this member plays League or this member plays Valorant, like instant like advertisement, right? Like they'll make yeah. fan camps, they'll do advertising. Like I think that's fun.
I would describe it as just saying this is like the perfect fit for this world.
Yeah, like it's fun. In Korea. It's a good time to do it.
Yeah, yeah. I think it's good. And then I'll reserve judgment on if the song is good or the video is good. Because I think they've been swinging and missing for a little bit. Anyway, thanks so much. Anything you want to shout out?
No, I'm excited for World and the World Call of Golden Guardians versus BDS in 2.5 weeks. I'm very excited for Golden Guardians to win.
Very good. Well, thanks so much. We'll catch you next time.
See ya.
See ya. I will say, Burn It All Down's video fucking slaps. Chovy versus Showmaker in that is like, oh. Oh.
They slap each other?
They do. They beat the shit out of each other.
Do you think they could bring in like Levi's as a sponsor for this year's Worlds?
Levi Ackerman?
No. They make apparel.
Yeah, I know. She have bad jokes. I'm not indulging them.
Well, yours was not great either.
She had Studio Mappa. What are they up to? They always take on new projects.
I don't know what that is. All right, folks. This is the show. Mark, we're not going to be doing one of these next week, right?
I don't think so. I have a lot of prep plus meetings next week. You'll be maybe recovered, but who knows?
I might be recovered by midweek. So if there's like some crazy news that comes out, we might do another one of these emergency ones. But
yeah, most likely not.
People should not expect it.
My whole Wednesday is meetings next week, and then I fly out Friday.
We are tentatively looking at October 9th, doing one after several hours after the Golden Guardians victory. So pencil that into all of your schedules, but Yeah, I mean, Hotline League's going to get funky and weird for the next while because Mark leaves in a week or so. I leave in...
Make sure to smash that like button, ring the bell. Make sure you don't miss it because the schedule live is going to be changing.
So true. All right, that's the show, everybody. Thanks for watching. I'm going to stick around on stream for a little bit. Mark's going to head out. And, yep, that's the way the cookie crumbles.